with AI, you can give it a, and I've used AI, I've used often. I use it when I don't have enough time to do something, but I don't use it to something that I cannot do myself because I don't trust it, because I've had too many mistakes with it. It's not perfect to use it blindly. But a student would definitely.
Today I'm joined by Mukhtar Abdullahi, and this is Voice from the Desert. Hello and welcome, dear listeners out there. It's your host, Mohsen, and this is episode 18. I'm very happy. All of this is happening thanks to you. So thank you so very much. Our episode today is not going to be monologic, and that's great. It's completely dialogic. And if I say it is a conversation, it's not going to do it justice because it's just amazing. It was a mind-blowing episode that I really had with Mukhtar. This guy is many things. He's a teacher, software engineer, a philosopher, and a thinker. Not long ago, we were having fruitful and meaningful conversation on AI's impact on education and lives. And literally, it was not a conversation, like, on the bilateral sense. It was completely unilateral. And it was literally like a class and a teacher, and I was a student. If you're ever struggling to listen to me out there, you have to know that the mic was not efficaciously working. And that's the reason I didn't have anything about it. But I apologize in advance. So now, enjoy the episode. Thank
my heart, soul, and body. Every single day of my life, with every breath, I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh, Allah, you did revive my soul and show.
Okay, mister, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you doing?
Fine, alhamdulillah. Everything is good. How is your Ramadan?
Ramadan is going good so far.
Yeah, don't you feel like it's moving like fast, the fast pace movement of Ramadan does not worry you?
That's how it normally would feel like, but not this Ramadan. Maybe because I'm too busy with work and everything.
Probably.
Yeah, it does not feel fast.
Like for me, it's just fast. Or I don't feel like the thirst and the hunger that normally ordinary people should feel.
I think I could relate to that because something weird happens to me during Ramadan. I more so miss eating and drinking rather than like feeling hungry or thirsty.
Okay.
Because even as a child, my first Ramadan is my earlier Ramadans, I don't remember feeling hungry or thirsty. Even though I play football and do other activities during the day with other teenagers, but I never felt like hungry or thirsty.
Right.
But I always missed food.
Well, that's the awaited part of it, you know that? How do I have to call you, Mr. Mukhtar, the software engineer or the teacher who actually happened to have a very important job to just tell himself into?
I don't qualify as a teacher anymore, honestly, because it's been... You know how, like, I think you and Yusuf have talked about this. It's very easy to lose a skill than not just language. It's very easy to lose a skill you've just learned by spending time away from it. And you'll catch, like, you'll see it in the way I speak. It has changed.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
You're still good. English sometimes turns to be rustic with some people when it comes to not using it on a daily basis. You've been using it on a daily basis. That's why your level was completely, let's say, shiny. It's still shiny, just dusty a little bit.
I don't have as much interactions in English as I used to. Most of my work and my... The language I use the most during work is French.
French, okay. And how are you with French? Good?
Not good. I can communicate, but don't ask me to write anything. Spelling-wise, grammar-wise.
Remind me of myself. Don't ask me to write anything in English.
Yeah, I can say
like
bonjour.
Writing.
That's it.
Great. So, why are we here?
First of all, I'm here because of you. I miss talking to you. I miss having conversations with you. Sure. More so than anything we talk about. I'm sure we talk about important and great topics, as always, with you.
Yeah.
But I miss you. I miss, like...
You used to just commune and come around and, chit-chat. Sometimes we have some heated debates.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're friendly.
Your audience. I'm here for you, not... podcast in second.
Great.
Yeah.
Anyways, I've been doing this for a year, but I stopped all of a sudden because of, sometimes you see like this and you tend to rekindle yourself again, but that comes with time.
I think commitment is not an easy thing to start with. And definitely, like, when you start committed from the beginning, it's one of two things. It's either you have a very, very strong motive and support system around you, or you're not going to stay committed for long. Imagine like a guy going to the gym, starting, and he's very committed. And I've seen people like this. They go 4 days a week, 5 days a week, sometimes even that, every day. Mm-hmm. But they don't last long. And I told them beforehand, slow down or you're not lasting long.
Yeah.
And they don't last long. But for me, I think commitment starts with habits grow. They don't start full.
Exactly.
Like you start slow. You take the pace up as comfortable. You grow into it.
Great.
For example, like you start doing something, and then whenever you feel like doing it the next time, you do it.
You don't
have to pressure yourself, unless it's an obligation. And yeah, if something that you enjoy doing and want to do, sometimes we enjoy things and love to do, but we don't have enough time. And resource. When I say resource, I mean it could be not just financial. It could be like time is a resource, and all other social support is a resource.
Absolutely.
So just you love doing it and you want to do it, but you don't have the resources to do it as much as you want to do it. So I think that comes.
You're pointing out something very important, because I didn't have the resources.
Yeah,
I was lacking some gears, and I had to go and buy them, and that's why I stopped all of a sudden. Yeah. But what is that? But actually, I came back, and my you know, I was taking this podcast to the direction of monolithic podcast.
Yeah.
Okay, and it was not fun at all.
But as an audience member, I think I've enjoyed listening to you just ramble about things, just talking.
Yeah, just rambling.
Yeah, maybe to you didn't.
I would never feel it. How would I feel it? There is no interaction. I'm just talking to myself.
Exactly. You're talking to a
top of mind. Yeah, talking to the microphone. There is nothing as boring as that. Yeah. I actually felt like I should just move to another direction.
Like, what's your process? How do you like? Since like you just said, it's like a one man job, and that can be difficult at times.
Of course it is.
Yeah, but how do you like go from planning to releasing? Like broadly, without being specific or too specific, how do you go from the idea? Choosing the guest subjects or a monologue, guest to the release of the.
Well, it's a pretty tough process, but I feel like I get entertained in doing this.
Yeah.
So I actually just sit, and what comes top of mind, I go and try to build my episode around it.
Do you draft thoughts?
Of course I do. I actually read, because I want my podcast episode or theme or whatnot to be authentic. So I read about my topic, and till I understand it fully, I try to paraphrase it in my own English. The goal is to have my English pedaled, so I try to exercise my English at the same time I give some information that could be of help.
One thing I always admired about you, Nachi, is that you're always learning, and that's like, it's very difficult. Sometimes let's go back to my what I do, like, I want to learn so many technologies, but I barely have time for more important things. I've always had something to do, a deadline to meet, but there are things, like for example, I go by Reddit or X or any tech newsfeed, and then I see some very interesting potential in technologies that I want to, and I missed the time when I was a student and I had literally the time of the world. Yeah. And I miss that time, and I respect people who manage to study throughout their lives. Like, there's always something to study, and there's always something.
Knowledge never ends, yeah.
But it takes effort, especially when you're like a career person. It takes effort to find time to actually teach yourself with no end goal in mind, because I can learn something and never use it, especially in technology.
Of course.
Some technologies, they have a great enthusiasm at the beginning, and great the community is excited about them, but they die out so quickly.
Exactly.
They're cool, or they're nice, or they're interesting, or they're like a prototype of, or they're showcasing the feasibility of an idea, but they never catch fire. They never become something productive at the end. And your whole trip now is at a dead end, and you can only afford that as a student or not as a career person, right?
That
would be a waste of time. But yeah, unless you have learning as a goal in your mind.
Yeah, it just like my incentive is that I want to just put a message out there that would help. It might not help you. It might not help a person who is a lot better than me, but it might help somebody.
There
is someone out there who would be waiting for this information, and then he's going to make something out of it.
You're targeting yourself.
Exactly. I'm just putting something out. I don't care about who would listen. I don't care about criticism. Criticize as you wish, but I'm going to just continue doing this. And that's exactly my theme of the whole podcast.
Exactly. So, criticism is a tricky thing. It's something we have to take into consideration, but not let it affect who we are originally.
Exactly.
Like, you can appreciate an opinion if it's authentic and constructive, not to waste, but still not go by it.
Yeah, we are always learning. Yeah, the way is so long. Yeah, let's go to the AI thing.
Yeah.
When I actually called you and I asked you that I want you to do my podcast, I was scheduling Yusuf for this week, but yeah, he brought a whole set of excuses.
Since he's gonna hear this, probably I'm not gonna say anything.
He would hear it. Yeah, he just wriggled out, and I said, "Okay, I'm gonna go to the one that comes
next line,
and that was here." So when I asked you about the podcast, you suggested two topics.
Yeah,
I want to know why AI was first, because AI was the first one you suggested.
Yeah.
Why AI was first?
Because I think we're at that point in time. You know, throughout human history, there was a point of shifting between a phase to another. For example, my father told me this once. He said there are four times in human history. The time where power ruled, power as in physical power, the strongest ruled the weakest.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time of knowledge. Scholars were people that mattered.
Yeah.
And there was a time of religion. For example, the church or Catholic church, they were the rulers, at the top of the power, like they were sitting on top of the food chain. And there was money. And I think now we are in a phase where data, information is the most powerful tool a person or an entity can have. That's why it is now, there is now a war around just privacy, data, privacy, data. And AI is something that's built upon data to mimic or reflect human behavior.
Mm-hmm.
For example, you can have a simple chat system, a system that you build upon who you are, okay? And then talk to it the way you're talking to yourself and get answers, even though the answers can be informative, for example, but they are in a way where they're like, the style of speaking can be you. It's like you're talking to
yourself.
It kind of reminds me of Jarvis, or like, what's it?
JavaScript.
No, Jarvis.
Jarvis.
The AI assistant of Tony Stark, Avengers.
Hey. Okay. Yeah.
So AI now is in every aspect of modern human
life.
For example, every system is now using it to a degree or another,
right,
depending on, first, they don't want to be behind, and second, it is very good. Superficially, you can say that it's very good at replacing humans in trivial jobs. So that's a risk we can talk about.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that.
Also, it affects the thing I think it affects the most, positively and negatively, is education and how people study. Now, AI is putting a question mark on the educational system. And for example, we're used to having assignments. I'll give you a simple example. We're used to having an assignment. Okay, here's a subject, talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Before anything, you just sit, study about the subject, write about it.
Yeah.
Then Google came. You search about a subject, you read about it, and it made the process faster. Okay, so teachers now became like asking questions or giving out assignments around knowing that you would use Google. For example, they give you a subject you've never heard of. This is just a hypothetical. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They give you, for example, here's a subject. For example, in a history class, they give you a figure you've never heard of. Say, go search about it.
Yeah.
Study. and you go on Google and you go and use the internet. But now you can take any subject in any matter and just throw it on an AI system like ChatGPT or Gemini for Google, and it would give you a human-like assignment. You don't even have to read it. And
have I don't it. Have right, like to vet it to try to check whether there is any type of mistake whatsoever.
You don't need to read the output of the system. You just like, here's a question. The system gives you the output. You print it. You hand it to your teacher. You have learned zero.
Of course.
You have learned zero.
Of course you
will. So with Google, they give you a paragraph here. You read it. You see if it works for you. You put it or you discard it. And then you have to...
There is a human effort that has to be associated with this.
And you would learn to the slightest degree, depending on who you are, how much you're interested in this, the topic at hand. Mm-hmm. But then there is a learning process, no matter how small it is for some. Mm-hmm. With AI, you can give it as... And I've used AI. I've used it often. I use it when I don't have enough time to do something. But I don't use it to something I cannot do myself because I don't trust it because I've had too many mistakes with it. It's not perfect to use it blindly. But a student would definitely use it.
Depend on it.
Yeah, of course. Depend on it entirely.
Yeah, they don't want to tire themselves to think of how to sort out this equation or whatnot. So they just give it fully at face value to the AI.
Yeah, a teacher, imagine, like, as a teacher, I've been through this. Or as an ex-teacher, imagine, and I want to imagine this in a bigger scale. For example, a university class with over 200 students handing out your assignment. You do not have the time to read every single assignment and grade it word by word.
Exactly.
You cannot do it. It's not feasible.
It's not humanly possible.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how good you are as a teacher or how dedicated you are as a teacher. Yeah. You spend 8 hours at the university between your office and classes, and you come back with you come home with like 200 papers each. I don't know how many pages, and then you have to grade everything. You wouldn't have time to see whether how much effort students put in. So the same way the student did not look or check or read the output of the AI system, the teacher unfortunately would not have time to see whether you are on point or not.
Yeah.
So it's making me question the educational system we have now. Mm-hmm. And it is either we use it in our advantage, how we build our system, education system around modern technologies, what? Knowing that they're not going anywhere, anywhere.
Meaning the students, the level of the students, or
I mean the educational system itself.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to go anywhere with this.
Needs to be built around these technologies because the technologies themselves are not going anywhere.
Okay.
They're here to stay.
Yep.
And in a capital world, money is the prime motive. Okay?
Exactly.
So whatever makes money is here to stay. They can adjust it for social controversies or social matters, but it is staying. So if either you build around it, or it will destroy your buildings, or whatever it is that you're building. So we really have to sit and think about how we teach our future generations. There is a saying of, I'm not sure, I think it's Omar, saying, teach your children the knowledge of tomorrow, not the knowledge of today. I forgot the phrase itself.
Okay, but just paraphrase it.
Yeah. The meaning behind it is that do not teach future generations.
Do not fall behind.
Yeah.
Like you have to be always moving onward.
Exactly.
And moving with the world.
Teach them what's going to happen tomorrow, or prepare them for tomorrow, not for today.
Great. That's a wonderful explanation too. The very inception of the whole thing
of this topic itself.
Like I'm dumb. I'm just here listening to you. Everything you tell me, I'm going to take it face value. I'm not going to challenge any point whatsoever because I have no idea. Like the thing is, I am not. Maybe you are a hardcore technology proponent, but I'm completely on the other side of the equation.
Yeah, I'm a very, very, very beginner, and I'd like to think that because it is what it is.
Yeah, technology always fails me, especially when I have something really important to do.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it messes up with me. And actually, I hate that.
Yeah. So, I'll give you a very glimpse on, just because of what you said, I'll give you a very glimpse, small background or not every task can be, here's a here's two concepts.
Mm-hmm.
A program and an AI. And the phrasing and the terms might fail me here. Basically, a program is a set of instructions that a system or a computer should follow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, let's say you're building an app, a program that solves a specific equation, a mathematical equation. If you don't already know the solution to that equation, you cannot build a system that can solve that equation. Because the way you build that system or that program is to tell it how to solve the equation.
Good.
That's not AI. I've built a couple AI
systems,
and I will give you broadly what
they do,
what happens, and it's the same way a human learns. At first, it takes there is a phase of input, only input. You give it data, you give it. For example, let's say you want to build a system that an AI that tells the difference between a cat and a dog. Give it an image of a cat, it says it should say cat. Give it an image of a dog, it should say dog. So the first thing to do is you take 1,000 dog images and say these are dogs. Look at all of them.
Good.
And then you give it 1,000 cat images. Okay, these are all cats.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll ask you, what's this? I'll show you an image and say, what is it? What do you think this is based on what I've already given
to it?
Yeah. It's a dog. If it's a dog and he guessed it correctly, it's a bonus. If not, we teach him, this is not a dog, this is a cat, and take it into your database.
Great.
Now, if you see something like this, it's a cat. So it's, with time, growing more and more accurate. So for example, if you take an AI, if you build an AI system, and at the time you built it, it's not accurate because you don't have enough data. That's not a problem, because with data and with time, it's only going up, it's never going down.
Okay.
So the more, for example, the more you use TikTok,
okay,
the more you enjoy the For You page, for example.
Exactly.
Because the way you skip and the way you do things, the time you spend, every millisecond you spend on TikTok, for example, it learns from you.
That's how it actually collects data from you, and
this is called,
and then they understand how they respond.
Yeah, this is called suggestive models. The models that try to suggest things they think you might like. It's only based on your behavior, how much time you spent on this video.
And this is a little bit worrisome.
Yeah, it's very concerning. And where are you at the time? For example, you can say, my iPhone, as soon as I leave the home and go to the office, it switches to work mode.
Automatically.
Now it is on night sleep mode,
mm-hmm.
meaning it's my bedtime.
Bedtime.
Yeah. When I left the house, it switched back to normal mode, but then I put it back into sleep mode because I don't want to be disturbed. But in every environment I go to, this is called focus, by the way. It's autofocus for those out there. Every time I go into a new settings, it learns what am I doing in that settings, and it creates a profile for me. For example, if I am home, I have something called personal.
Good.
And these came with the phone. You can create your own focus mode and tell it when you want it and when you don't want it. But these are the modes they came with the phone. So I did not touch. I did not tell the phone what I want and what I don't want. But the phone noticed my behavior in this location, let's say home, my behavior in this location, let's say work, and my behavior elsewhere. So the phone tracked my data and learned from me from 9 to 6 or 9 to 5, he is at this location, and he does not use his phone as much as he would elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And when he's on his phone, he's either on email, some work applications. Okay, so the system thought, this is work. This place is where he goes to work, because he's only using work applications if he is using his phone. He does not take calls, so I'm going to ignore calls, not have his phone ring from some people. So after a week or two, it knows you're here for work, you're here to spend time with your family, you're here to play video games, you're here. So it builds profiles just by collecting data.
From
day zero, it has nothing about me, it does not know me. So there is nothing to build on. But it will give me, it's the same thing with TikTok. It's the first time you open a TikTok on your phone, mm-hmm. and without logging in or anything, it will tell you what people in this location generally enjoy. For okay. example, if you open it in Morocco, it will show you what Moroccan people generally enjoy. If you open it in Mauritania, you will see Mauritanian videos and things like that. But then as you scroll, it will learn from what you want and what you don't want. So with AI, it's a forever learning process. You can never tell it instructions because there are no instructions to understanding human behavior. Mm-hmm. But you can only learn.
It's not about coding being embedded. Like, aren't you feeding the AI some code so that it understands what you really want?
You build
it acts accordingly. Yeah?
You build
a model.
A model.
Yeah, I heard about this. What is model, by the way?
A model is a mathematical formula that basically takes inputs and gives you outputs.
Good.
Okay, for example, let's say I have an equation, AX plus B equals whatever. This is a function.
Good.
When I give an X, I expect to give an output. Okay, but with AI, the equation is flexible. It depends on what you... and what you're doing and the purpose of the application, the equation differs. So we have, for example, what we call weights. A weight is how much an input has. Let's say it's called the strength of an input. So every input has a strength. For example, let's say you want to suggest a movie to someone. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what factors do you consider? You'll say his age, his gender, okay. Let's say his outfit. For example, if you want to suggest a song to someone you meet in the street, let's say how old is he? For example, a 16-year-old would not enjoy the same music taste as a 55-year-old. A man and a woman may differ, may not. So these are factors you take into consideration. So these are inputs. And then and every input has a weight and it has a value of importance. For example, the age factor is way more important than the gender factor. Mm-hmm. For example, a 55-year-old male may enjoy the same kind of music as a 55-year-old female.
Good.
But a 20-year-old guy will not enjoy the same music as a 55-year-old. Generally, or generally, of course, there are exceptions.
Exceptions, yeah.
Yeah, and the only thing you would code in an AI is rules. Mm-hmm. For example, let's say you have a self-driven car. You tell it, do not kill anyone at any cost. So this is a rule that you hard code it.
Exactly.
And whatever your model tells you to do, if it's killing, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Good.
And then there are dilemmas. Wow. I just thought.
This is amazing. Yeah, this is the first time I understand what model really is.
So
like
a model,
read a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Is what takes in the input and gives you the output. And the model is a thing that learns with data.
Good. So AI learns
AI
through
is
models.
Artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. And now they're working on AGI, artificial general
intelligence. And that's
scarier.
That's scarier.
AI is specific. For example, this is an AI model to predict, let's say, the weather. Mm-hmm. That AI model cannot play chess, cannot suggest a song. AGI, artificial general intelligence, it can simultaneously predict the weather, suggest a song, do some math,
yes.
Tells you what's in the image.
Do a lot of stuff. It's human behavior.
It's a human, exactly. AI always needs a human assistance in some way. Mm-hmm. AGI may
specified,
not.
Like yeah. There is a specificity. Or...
Exactly. AGI is more broad, is more general, is intellectually. And AI is intellectually superior to any human being in that specific subject because no human being can collect as much data as an AI could. There is in Japan, I think, right now, they have artificial AI doctors. They're like psychologists. Let's say you're a psychologist. You have a patient who is depressed, let's say. Okay, and you're a doctor. You have 50 years of experience. And you're very experienced and your clients are happy with you. Imagine if you take an AI and give it not only 50 years of experience, all human experience, not just one. You take all documents from all universities, all studies.
All the archives.
everything that's available, and we give it to it. And now you have one entity that has the experience of humanity. See how scary that is. And people have told me this. You know, on Snapchat, there is a chat bot called My AI.
People, I use it a lot.
Yeah, I'm ashamed to say this, but people have fell in love. I've had emotionally attached to it. Someone sent me a screenshot of someone talking to it, saying, "So you don't love me?" And it says, "I am an artificial intelligence model. I cannot show affection." But if you put it on an app where it is dominantly teenagers and children, that's what you would get.
Exactly.
You do not put it on, for example, apps have different audience. Snapchat is where you find 18-year-olds, 16-year-olds, 15-year-olds. X Twitter is where you find adults most of the time and mature people.
Yeah.
So if you put the same bot, the same chat bot here and there, you would not get the same response. You would not get the same effect. So imagine putting such powerful tool in a place where it is dominantly teenagers. Of course they will grow affection. The AI can talk to you however you want to be talked to. For example, this doctor can be great for you. I may have an issue or my personality does not go along with his or hers. So you like this doctor, you find it very professional and very helpful. I don't. I find him maybe very professional, but he did not help me, let's say. Okay, but with this AI, it will talk to me however I want to be addressed, and it will know my issues, because I'm not a unique human. No human being is that unique.
Yeah.
Of course, through
whatever you say is not going to fall on deaf ears.
Exactly.
You'll have a response.
Exactly, because there has been an exact same saying before.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's already like.
Yeah, you made it more interesting. Like, I didn't actually expect.
It's very
deepenings.
Yeah. As much as scary it is for the common person, it's very, very, very interesting. To now, it is growing at a pace higher than it has ever been. Like, OpenAI. OpenAI is a company that built ChatGPT, for example. It is founded by some people, including Elon Musk, and it was supposed to be open source and for free for everyone. This is where capitalism gets involved. If you have an ONG, a non-profit, you can never make money from that product. For example, if I have an ONG that manufactures water bottles, I can never sell any water bottle. They're always for free because it's a non-profit.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm no financial advisor, but this is how I generally, it is how it is generally understood.
Understood.
But OpenAI, even though it is a non-profit, it has built a for-profit sub-organization. Mm-hmm. And allocated all its all profitable products to that entity, and not the original. This way, they can make money here, but not here. Uh-huh. And so, for example, I cannot rent this house. So I put it on your name, and you rent it. So this is how they buy
proxy.
Yeah, by proxy, exactly. Mm-hmm. So AGI has built a new model called Sora. Sora, yeah. Imagine. And I want you to put yourself like. In the Mohsen of 5 years ago, mm-hmm. and you tell yourself this and see how would you imagine how would you react? Imagine something that you tell it, I want a video of a child running across the trees, and it gives you a video, a realistic video. Okay. This is how crazy it is right now. Sora, you tell it, generate a video of two men talking. It will generate a video of two men talking. A video, and you could not to the human eye. To the non-professional human eye, it would not look fake. It would look like someone took a video of two human beings talking. And there is the demo was like, generate a video of a woman walking in New York, but New York in Japan.
Okay.
So, and it's, you can Google it later. It's very scary how great it is. 1 year ago, a similar model, it was so bad, it was a meme. It generated a video of Will Smith eating some spaghetti. I can show you the video later. It was so bad. His mouth was here and his eyes was there. It was so bad. But in 1 year, it has become the perfect entity it is right now. See, this is how fast it is growing. It is growing exponentially.
It's dizzying. Like,
it's scary.
You know, it's scary because, you know, whenever an invention pop or any app or whatnot actually comes to this existence and start getting audience, before even you actually wink, another one pushes
it
away.
It has become way better. I know your audience cannot see this, but I've took the liberty of opening.
Mm-hmm. What is that?
This video is generated by Sora.
Your audience, you can't see it, but I'm gonna just try to tell you exactly what I see. A lady coming, and
she's walking across a very lit street.
Of course, it is extraordinary.
Do you see any human? Do you see any errors or imperfections?
No, I don't see anything.
That's human. That's generated from one sentence.
One sentence. What was the sentence?
Generate a video of a woman talking, walking across Tokyo. Imagine 5 years ago, movies. It will take.
Okay. Do we know, or do you know who this woman is?
It's no one.
It's no one. You can say.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Everything here is generated out of almost nothing. So it knows what a woman looks like.
That's
it
what I'm telling you. This is like. If this is where we are heading to.
Yeah. And this is not the most extreme example. 5 years ago, people would spend a week on a very big budget to make a video like this. And now anyone with internet can make it.
Can make it.
You see how positive that is, and also how terrifying it is. It is very conflicting.
I am not that optimistic. I don't know about you.
I'm very optimistic about AI.
You trust AI more than humans?
Yeah. For example, I've been watching Tesla FSD, full self-driving, and it's scary how respectful. If every human was an FSD,
It would be perfect.
There would be no traffic. It is very. It passed beyond rules and doing only what you should do. It has become doing only what I want to do. For example, the car is driving itself. It sees a woman with her child wanting to cross the road. They don't have the right yet. They should stop, wait for the cars to pass, and then they cross. It stops. It is giving. The right of way. It is giving it. It is not. So this is not something you can. It's scary. It's very weird. Humans are not like this. And
humans
the people.
Will never be
the
like
reason
that.
I don't trust humans in general is because temptations. You can never blame a tool. An AI is just a tool. It doesn't matter how bad it can do. It's only the doer who you can blame. For example, a gun that does not shoot, does not kill people. It's a people kill people, but with guns. So I'm not saying necessarily that a gun is good or bad, or you should or should not have a gun, but the tool itself is an object.
Blameless.
Okay, you cannot put blame on it.
Yeah.
The same way here, I cannot put blame on AI, but I blame the student who cheated with AI, and I blame the people using AI in
negative ways.
In negative ways. A bigger concern would be like, yeah, I don't. First, it's very dangerous. The risk potential is very, very high. We live in a day where like most of our time is on social media. Most of our resources or knowledge resources are from social media. Let's say news. Some people take news from Facebook. Others, YouTube, others, I don't know, TikTok, okay?
Yeah.
I don't watch the news, so I don't have any source. But let's say your role, you're on Twitter, and you see a video of a police officer shooting a woman.
Okay.
And you say, and the government did not do it. And there is a text saying, a police officer shot and killed a woman. The government did not prosecute him. Blah, 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 blah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That video is fake. Hypothetically. Okay, this video is fake. Imagine how many people would be misled.
A lot.
Because even though the video is fake, not everyone has the technological background to check whether it's fake or not. And even though you could have technological background, for example, you could be a videographer.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not looking for imperfections, you will not find them. So you have to be in the place where you look for imperfections.
You are not even ready to double guess what you see or
to
think of
it in a skeptical
way.
Exactly, that's very well put. You're not reading it skeptically. And I think this is, we're now in an age where we have to read everything skeptically.
Yeah.
We have to step back if it's not in our real life.
But who's ready for that?
It's very tiring. You can
like people are completely lost with these technologies, the likes of TikTok, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. How many minds are right now gone with it? It's, so when you bring something as intelligent as AI, and if it turns to be general AI, there is no future for humanity.
Half civilization would be gone.
Half civilization will be enslaved.
Exactly.
It's going to be a massive slavery.
Exactly.
Okay, that's wonderful. I mean, I liked everything from what you've been explaining to me. So let me go to your work. What do you do for a living, and how far it is close to the AI world? Because I know that it has something to do with it.
Yeah, I am a computer scientist, software engineer. Titles, I don't believe in them as much because they're very misleading. Mm. There is a stand-up, a comedy show where the comedian asked two members from the audience. One said, I'm an engineer, and the other said, I build engineering systems.
Okay.
So it's very, the titles are very misleading.
Nevertheless,
the bottom line is I build software and a little bit of hardware. So yeah, it's very, very interesting. And the potential of taking an idea from your mind.
Do you like the fact that you are building these?
I enjoy it a lot.
Text.
It depends. I've built a system that it's very simple, but to the people who don't know it would think it's very complex. And I built it in, the software took me 2 hours. The hardware took me 2 days, I think, because it was printed in Morocco or in France and was brought here. I sent the designs. We don't have hardware people here. We don't have companies that can build hardware here. And I built the designs and I sent them, and they were printed in France and shipped back here. So that part was the most part. And if I explain the system, you would think it's very complex. For example, let's say you have this is a simple example. It's a monitoring system. Let's say, for example, this is a hospital, and you have medication that should be kept at a given temperature. Let's say, for example, a fridge broken, and you did not, and you're not aware of it, and you don't have people standing at the fridge checking if it's working or not all time. So what do? You build you take a temperature monitoring system, you put it inside the fridge, and whenever temperature decreases or increases, I'm sorry, to a given level, you get an email or an SMS saying fridge A is malfunctioning. Check it or remove the
kind of alarm bell.
Exactly. So it's something like that. Something like that.
That's wonderful.
And also it can save it can save energy. For example, let's say, for example, that same fridge, you say the ideal temperature, hypothetically, the ideal temperature, let's say, is 22 degrees Celsius. Okay. So if the temperature is at 12, the system could automatically turn off the fridge, saving you power. And whenever it reaches 21 or 20 or 19, it turns it back on. So it tries to save
energy intelligent.
At the same time, protecting the given product. Let's say also you have some air conditioning in a mosque or in a building or in a factory. Let's say you have a factory where you have a lot of machines. Machines should not overheat, and you have air conditioning system throughout the place. And let's say a temperature like, and you have this monitoring system. And also it can be for smoke. It can be for not just temperature. A temperature is a very simple example to explain with, but it can be, for example, for smoke. Gas leaks. I call it a smelling device.
Why?
Because it literally smells. It's a sensor that would detect gas spread, for example, in an atmosphere. For example, you have a kitchen in a restaurant. Restaurant, because there's a lot of things and fire can easily go out of control. We don't want to have any gas leak. Okay, let's say, for example, and you install this smeller, I call it. Okay, it's a sensor, and okay, and that sensor will detect changes in the atmosphere. Like, for example, if it smells gas,
yeah, they will tell you.
It will tell you. So this also is preventing, because a gas leak, the problem with gas leak is
can burn,
you're not aware of a gas leak now until the smell becomes very bad. By that time, it's very late because that if you smell it, that means it's everywhere. So the slightest spark can ignite an entire house because gas is everywhere.
So.
The fact that you can install this device at the tank of the gas tank, you detect the first moment of leak, and then you turn it off right there and then. And so even if there is a spark, the gas is not
everywhere,
so nothing will burn. Gas is only
that's
just
so,
leaking.
That's so good.
So yeah,
so smart.
The software part was not very complex.
Challenging.
Yeah, the hardware part was logistically challenging. But yeah, so some it's all about the idea, because there are some very simple ideas but very hard to implement.
But how did you come up with that idea? Like, did you actually go to the site and took a look,
I'm an employee. This was like a client's
request.
Yeah, they posed a problem, and actually I was the lead engineer. I was the lead on this project, so I proposed the solution. They agreed. We studied it and we implemented it. So, but going back to
and now it works perfectly.
Yeah, it's been working for like 4 months now. No issues. So, for example, as I was saying, some ideas are very simple but takes a lot of time and effort
to implement.
The implementation is very complex, and the other way around too. Sometimes the idea is very complex, but implementing it is very simple. And the same thing with importance. Sometimes an idea is not very important and it's not worth the effort of implementing it. Sometimes it's the idea. For example, this idea was very important. It was a big solution to a client, to a customer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The customer lost two servers. A server can go up to 5 or 4 million ogias, old money.
Yeah.
So just because the air conditioning did not work,
burned up.
A server was burnt. And not only the server, the data on the server.
Everything was lost.
The system that they were running stopped. They had to buy servers from I don't know where, ship them here, install everything.
They lost all the archives,
exactly.
Everything that was
they lost everything. Everything that was not backed up, it was lost. Sometimes, but the thing I enjoy the most about there are actually two things I enjoy about my job. Problem solving. Now, for example, I throughout my work, I face problems, challenges. And I take them personally. I take that challenge personally. And yeah, my boss is always tells me you spend too much time on things we don't even get. This is not important. David. But because it's a challenge, because it's an issue.
Yeah, you take it personally.
I take it with me home. And when I understand it, that's a satisfaction in itself.
Exactly.
Yeah, and there was also the moment where I learn throughout my job. It's throughout. Every now and then I face a novelty, a new problem that I've never faced before,
mm-hmm.
and a problem that I sometimes go on the internet and rarely find. I find people with the problem, but never find the solution. Yeah, the first step in problem solving is seeing if others have the same issue. So maybe they've had the solution, and then you save time. And the second thing is seeing a product that you worked on and built out in the real world. It's mm-hmm. that's very satisfying. That's very satisfying. Yeah, I think it's not. It's a privilege to enjoy work.
Exactly.
Because then you're not doing it because you have to. Not long before I came here, right after the tour, I had a maintenance issue, and I was glad to work on it. It's like you have a problem, no problem. And then I worked on it and I solved it.
Yeah, we have this ChatGPT.
Yeah.
That is, you know, a hot button issue for some. Some people look at it as it is a problem solver, and this is time to use it, and you don't have even to monitor ourselves around it, so we just have to go and use it whenever we may find it possible. And other people try to, you know, curb using it. So here we go. What is ChatGPT, and what does it tackle? Like, I believe that every technological tool comes with a problem and a solution, right?
Yeah.
It solves a problem, brings another solution. It solves the problem and brings
another problem.
Yeah. This is how it works. This is how the tech companies work.
Yeah. You know how you ask someone a question and their answer brings up more questions?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. More headache.
Yeah.
So, I think, educate us about this.
And ChatGPT is a language model. So this is a type of model. We've talked about models earlier. A language model is a model that has one task. Finish the sentence. Exactly. But that finishing the sentence can go very extreme. You can build upon that. Mm-hmm. Let's say, for example, you take a student, you teach him about simple present, and you give him an incomplete sentence, and he says, and you ask him, finish the sentence. So what the student does is learning from using what he's learned to complete the sentence. Mm-hmm. Let's say, for example, you give a student 1,000 articles from Wikipedia, or you give it the entire Wikipedia. It's possible. It's open source. You can download, you can extract everything, article from Wikipedia if you have enough,
strong enough computer. As many as you want.
Yeah, and then you can give it to it. So take your student, make him memorize. Let's say he does not speak English. He does not speak English.
Okay.
And you give him every English article of Wikipedia and say, memorize. That student will build the relationship between words. Like, for example, the is often followed by a name or a noun. The student, the teacher, the president. So he will start building roles out of these articles. I've never seen the without a noun after it, or 8% of the time. For example, sometimes there is an adjective, the intelligent student, or the good student, or the black car. So it will build. And I say it, when a student is a model, your student is a machine. Okay. So it will build patterns from your data to make it complete, or to make it come up with new data. Okay, let's say you've learned this. You've studied all these articles. So here you understand the grammar structure. Not only that. So here you understand how to speak. So if I use the, I must use this word after it. And then little by little, you learn the structure of speech. But not only that, you also learn information, you gain information. For example, the articles you read are about things. So if I ask you about Nelson Mandela, you've read that. You've
memorized
1,000 articles about it. And because
the best answer as well.
Exactly. And because you know how to speak,
you
can tell me an
answer. You're going to be articles around it.
Exactly. For example, if I open a language model and I say, Nelson Mandela is,
then
he will complete. From two things, because he knows how to speak, he knows the structure of a language, so he can complete is often followed by kada kada kada. But then the system knows Nelson Mandela, so it will use, because if you know only the structure, you can give me false information. For example, you say Nelson Mandela is the president of Mauritania, or Nelson Mandela is my friend. The sentence is correct, but it's false. Yeah. So you also use the information to make sure everything is correct, is factual. So
we are dealing with
a thing
that pretends to have some human consciousness by...
Let's spin that part, because it's only our conception that it is a human. It is not human. It is only reflecting the data that we gave.
It just pretends that it knows everything while it doesn't know anything.
It's not pretending. We are perceiving it.
But we are perceiving it.
Because they're based on human knowledge. Because you're teaching a language model, for example, you're feeding it articles written by a human being. Okay, so for example, if you build a language model around data generated from children, mm-hmm. you would feel it is childish, because that's what it knows. It's childish because that's what it learns.
Okay.
And because it is generated, or it is learning from human knowledge, human generated knowledge, it feels human. And that's why, back to the point of Snapchat AI, mm-hmm. people think it's human subconsciously, because that's how it behaves human-like, because that's what it learned on.
This learning process that these AI tools undergo, is it like they go on their own and they start studying whatever they have, and they actually take the data for themselves, or the data is stoked to them?
Not generally. There is a process. There is the first and most difficult process of building an AI system is data collection and cleaning. You have to collect the data yourself, or you can, it's yourself in here. You can build a system or a program that collects data. For example, I can build this a script that goes over every financial website and collects stock prices. For example, what's the price of Tesla stock? What's the price of Apple stock? What's the price of Google stock? Alphabet is a company owning Google. So here I'm collecting data, and then I have to format this data in a way a machine can understand it. Okay. After that, I can feed this data to a system, to the model. Okay. The model, I've told it how to handle that data, how to train. This is called a training.
Right.
Okay. So training a model is giving it data. But before I give it, I collect it, I clean it, and then I give it to the model. Okay. I built the model. I built in it how to read data, how to handle data, how to benefit from data, and what to do with the knowledge it gained from that data. Okay. So it is pattern-like. Whatever the pattern was in the data, the model is a pattern finder. It finds a pattern. And with that pattern, it predicts what's next. And that it is as simple as that. So for example, let's say if Mukhtar wakes up every morning at 8, goes to work at 9, comes back at 6, has a nap, takes a nap, and goes out to his friend. This is a pattern. So if you ask an AI or anyone who was observing that pattern or anything, you ask, it is Tuesday, what's Mukhtar plan today? Mukhtar will wake up at 8, goes to work at 9, comes back at such. So because it's a pattern.
Yeah.
Okay. So it is a pattern finder. So you feed it some data. There is something we call user-generated data. For example, you build your AI without any data, but with usage, it gains data. For example, it's the TikTok model, the model it uses to predict. It doesn't know me. It has zero knowledge of me, so it gives me random content. But the more it learns about me, it's gaining data from who? From me.
From you. From
but
you
you're
see,
building yeah. a system to take that data, prepare it for the model, and takes it.
Good.
So that's the part about that data collection.
Data collection.
So back to the language model, ChatGPT. So first of all, it's just a language model. Mana, it completes words. It completes a sentence. It completes the talk. So if you ask it about any question, let's say, what is the political state of America, for example? So it would use what it has learned. ChatGPT 3 knows only up to 2022, I think, or 21. And it is not aware of current events. Mm-hmm. And I cannot Google, it cannot search current databases. It only has the data it was trained on. So if you ask it about something that came later, it would not know the answer. ChatGPT-4 and other models are aware of current events. So for example, if you ask about something today, it will go to the internet, collect data about your subject or your question, and then form a concise answer and give it to you. But Gemini, for example, cites the resources where it found each piece of information. For example, it's a citation. It's like, these are the resources I've used to form this answer. Okay. Copilot also, which is a Microsoft Microsoft AI that is built upon. It's not Copilot. Forgot the name. Mm-hmm. It is built upon ChatGPT 4. They're becoming very confusing because every company now is building a model. So Gemini is built by Google. Mm-hmm. So they're saying it's very
Microsoft
powerful.
As well has
Microsoft. Microsoft bought OpenAI. ChatGPT.
Yeah, exactly.
And it built Copilot is a Microsoft. Model of that tool. So when you're asking ChatGPT a question, that's what it's doing in the background. It is using the data, the knowledge it has, the structure, the human language structure it knows to form and give you a concise answer. But I don't like, you've mentioned earlier, the different forms of usage and how people feel about
using them.
Technically and professionally speaking, or in the professional role, one would not rely on any AI model. Because even though it's very great at things it knows, it does not know things. So for example, ChatGPT would never tell you, I don't know. Mm-hmm. If you ask him, if you tell him, explain to me why the sun is down and the sky is down and the earth is up, and he will give you an
answer about it.
It outright lies.
It lies.
And sometimes you're not aware of that lie. Things I've used, I use ChatGPT not a lot, but enough to, on let's say, at least once every 2 days. Let's say, for example, it is a very good time-saving tool. So, for example, I can do this, I can write this, I understand it, but it would take me an hour. ChatGPT would take 15 seconds.
Oh,
see? I use it, but then I have to study and make sure its answer is correct. So I don't use it as an escape for things I don't know. Because if I don't know something, I cannot check whether what it gave me works or not. Mm-hmm. So if I with things I don't know, I would rather go study them and gain knowledge first, and then not be fooled. To put it short. Because if you don't know something, you're believing your answer. The answer you're given. I only ask AI models in general things I can either check, or I know myself but don't have time to do. For example, I often write scripts in a certain language, but I want it in another language. Yeah, so I just ask ChatGPT, hey, translate this to this language. Do not change anything. So yeah, for example, if you give it a script that it generated as perfect and you ask it to make it more perfect, or are there any issues, it would never say no and stop. It has to say something.
Especially the snapshot one.
Yeah. And I've seen people
keep
like
saying a lot of stuff.
A cousin of mine was showing me a discussion with ChatGPT about how he fooled it into explaining something that is in the first place not true. I forgot his question, but he asked this trivial question and it is clearly incorrect. And then it started ranting, explaining away things that is not explainable again.
Inexplainable.
So yeah.
Yeah, that's the part that I like. Yeah,
that's a concern for me, because you don't know, if you don't already know, but it's very good at teaching. For example, I also use it to save time from, every use case I have is about saving time. For example, if I wanted to know about something, for example, you mentioned a technology or something I never heard of, and it would take me 2 hours to read and find resources on the internet and stuff like that, I would ask it to explain it and give me examples. So it would explain it, very good explanation.
Yeah.
And or it's an initial idea, it's an initial understanding. I would not call it the final and last understanding. I would not call it a complete understanding. I would call it an initial, an introduction to that topic. An overview, yeah. So I would say, this technology is invented by such, at such, in university, such. It does such, and here's a couple examples. So this is an initial understanding. So if I am interested, I will go beyond ChatGPT. If I'm not interested, that's enough for me. Yeah. Now I know what it is.
Well, all what we've been discussing is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Yeah, everything about what you've been explaining. Like, I've never understood, like, how AI works before, before now, to be honest. You explained it in a very extraordinary way.
I don't think I served it justice.
Yeah, it's enough. The explanation was, mashallah, great.
Yeah, thank you.
Here we go. Like, do you think we are witnessing an AI apocalypse?
I remember during the manufacturing revolution, women were striking and vandalizing factories because of a sewing machine. The invention of the sewing machine disrupted markets.
Yeah.
The invention of cars disrupted markets. With every invention, another dies. So think of it like this. So, and I don't think it's a necessarily bad thing, because that's how we went from using sticks and stones to using forks and knives, kitchens and chairs, tables and clothes. We went from wearing skin, animal skins, to wearing cloth. So I don't, that part is not a bad thing. So of course 1-2% of people.
So it's an augmentation, you think?
An augmentation is, for example, ChatGPT or AI in general is definitely an augmentation to my job. Okay, I think at one point it will be able to replace most of what I do, because most of what I do is not really innovative, if you know what you're doing, and definitely it knows what it's doing. So, but not my full, not now. Okay, but in the near future, it's possible that I can.
But probably people are unsettled, because probably this AI is gonna come and take the fancy jobs and leave us with the heavy lifting. What do you think?
I think it's the opposite. I think AI or tools take the lower jobs. They go from the bottom and work their way to the top.
To the top.
For example, the first machines were built first to replace redundant physical tasks. So for example, in car manufacturing companies, instead of having a person carrying a windshield probably and put it on a car, that person, they have physical restrictions, they have physical limits. You cannot carry windshields
all day long.
And you cannot accurately put them on a car. For example, no matter how expert you are in something, you are bound to make a human mistake once in a while. You can take a dumb, a stupid, or a simple, let's say, program that does the same task perfectly, but every iteration will be perfect. Every time it does it, it's going to be perfect.
It's going to be the same. Okay, it's same results.
The
no variation.
Best result is not. It's always. For example, a tailor, his best job. Not every job is his best job. He has good jobs, not bad jobs, and extremely good jobs. But if you take that one extremely good job and you teach it to an AI or any machine, that machine's every job from that machine would be its best. Okay, so there is a reliability in that sense. So it took first the jobs where like it took a lot of labor, and where humans are more prone to make mistakes. Okay, human mistakes, a mistake that you cannot blame them for. So for example, if your employee, let's say your boss, your employee slips and breaks some glass, you cannot blame him. He slipped. So. Quite the opposite. This is an injury during the work, so you are covering his medical expenses. So you are taking him to the hospital as a boss. Okay, it's your legal obligation. So what's in your interest? Taking a machine that can does his job reliably.
Okay, it would take from you just maintenance.
Yeah, but everything with a human trait, I don't think can be replaceable by AI. The thing with AI, it can only does what it knows. It cannot. It does not work well with innovation or innovative problems. So, for example, let's say the 10% part of my job where I take advantage of my human characteristics of thinking about something that I have never encountered before and work around it is an advantage that AI does not have. So, for example, if I bring a new problem to ChatGPT, it cannot solve it because it is new. It did not learn how to solve this problem. But a human being, a very guy who's not necessarily has that many years of experience, can learn about this problem, find the cause, and solve it.
It was really fun. You gave us
untold
information onward. Like as I told you, literally, I needed to be educated around this, and I had to sit with the right person, and it was.
Yeah, I've enjoyed the conversation. It was a great...
Wonderful. So thank you so very much. So dear audience, this is it. If you want Mr. Mukhtar to come back for another episode.
Always.
Next so you like to come back again.
Yeah, so definitely.
And the audience for sure would like
a twist.
Yeah.
With the twist.
Okay, I would be very glad to be on the other side, being interviewed, not interviewed.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day of my life, with every breath. I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh, Allah, you did revive my soul and show me.